Everybody, hope all is good. A good Erev of Pesach. Today's daf is Sota Daf Vav. Now we're here at the two dots on Hey Amud Beis, with a quote back from our Mishnah. Right, the last part of the Mishnah had said in Meis Choletzes, right, that if the husband passes away before they complete the Sota process, so the woman does Chalitza instead of Yibum to the husband's brother. And again, the Gemara just asks, why am I? Why is that true? Tis Yabim Nami Yivume. Why can't she do Yibum? Meaning, usually Yibum and Chalitza go hand in hand. If you remember from Sakas Yivamas, right? Yibum, someone who does Yibum can do Chalitza, someone can do Chalitza, because, right, they go hand in hand. Right? They're only, both of them are Shayach, or none of them are Shayach, you know, often. Right? Usually they go together. Samar of Yosef, Omer Kark, the Pasuk says, that if, for whatever reason, the husband gets rid of his wife because he thinks that she was unfaithful, so she leaves his house and then she goes to someone else. I mean, she marries some other guy. Can the pasuk say again, just to clarify, right? The pasuk before, where's that pasuk? The whole pasuk is, sorry, where is that? Yeah, well, that's the whole pasuk. And the pasuk before that, right? Kikach isha ubala vayah and losin tzachim beinav kimatza ba ervas davar because of lesser ever creases. Right? The person finds that for whatever reason, right, he thinks his wife is being unfaithful, so he divorces her. And then she goes to marry somebody else. The Gemara darshins, Lisha Acher v'lo v'Yavam, right? She's only allowed to marry someone else, right, and not the Yavam. So Amalei Bayi said to Rav Yosef, Elameata Chalitza Nami Loti Bayis. Okay, so well, as we said before, it's usually Chalitza and Yibum go hand in hand, right? If she's ostrich to the Yavam, so she doesn't need Chalitza either, right? That is the whole concept of a woman and, what was it? Now I'm blanking on the term and blanking on the phrase because it's almost midnight. What was the Isha v'chavrita? It was Tzara, right? The wife and her co-wife, right? That's all Indian. If they don't need chalitza, if they don't need Yibam, they don't need chalitza. If they don't need chalitza, they don't need Yibam, right? Where they go hand in hand. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yosef said back to Abaye, Ilu Isi Labal, Milo Bay Gets. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Right? If the husband had been alive, right, he would, right, obviously need to divorce her, right? So Hashanami Dibay Chalitza, so too, right? Again, you have to sever the bond somehow, right? So now that, again, when the husband dies, right, and then she falls to the oven for Chalitza, right, he has to get rid of the connection between the two of them. Yes, Echinami, the husband thinks that she's been sleeping around, so, but he still has to divorce her. They don't just dissolve the marriage like that. So once the brother comes, it's now he's kind of, right, he's zokuk liyavam, liyavama, right, a zikuk there, right, shikuk liyavam, so he still has to dissolve that, so therefore they need to do chalitza. Okay, v'yizdei, some people say that Amar Rav Yosef, that meaning that it went back and forth like this. The Rav Yosef said, the Rachman Amar, v'yatzum ebezu v'alach v'haysa l'ishacher, dol listrei l'vese, right, the pasuk says that she can go marry someone else because we don't want the guy's house to be destroyed, the first husband's house to be destroyed by this znos, right? Now you want her to do yivam, meaning that Rav Yosef agrees with Allah. Meaning we're just changing now. We're going to have a couple of these. Right? We're going to just changing Rav Yosef's reason, right, behind the drasha. Right? Again, we're going to quote the same pasuk, but Rav Yosef is going to give different logic. So here Rav Yosef says, "What do you mean? The whole reason this guy divorced her is because she's unfaithful. Now you want her to marry his brother. And again, the whole point of yibum is to build the house, right? To build the yikum zera lahakim zera lahachiv, right? To kind of rebuild." Right, the house, and this woman is destroying houses, so why should they do yibum? So Abaye said, so if that's true, let me ata la'achar lo tinase, that she shouldn't be able to marry anybody. Right, the little history of the base, so she shouldn't destroy the house. So Rav Yosef said back to him, no, mikom ramina la'ala ba'korchei. Well, we're not forcing her to marry this guy. Well, really, the other way around. We're not forcing this guy, the new husband, to marry her. He's okay with it, right? He knows the backstory, presumably. But by Yavam, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do, to marry this woman. So we're not going to make a mitzvah in a scenario where the woman is kind of destroying her household. But if the other guy wants to opt in, and right, again, people, marry, second marriages, third marriages, right, that people opt into it. So we're not going to necessarily say that is usher, even though, right, again, is it recommended? I don't know. But long story short, right, we're not going to force the oven to marry a woman where things are kind of not so kosher. Vigidam, right? Another discussion, a version of this discussion, right? So Vigidam, Amar of Yosef, Hakasuv Karo Acher, that the Torah called him Acher, meaning that the second guy, the second, the new husband, is called Acher, the another guy, right? She'ein ben zugo shirusha, meaning he's different than the first guy, right? Meaning he's less, he's worse, he's not as frum, shall we say, right? Not as as proper as the first husband. Because the first guy kind of divorced his wife because she was being unfaithful. The second guy is like, yeah, I'm fine with that. So that's terrible. What do you want to make the Yavam, right, to, into this second guy who is inferior, who is less, who is worse than the first husband? So you can't, shouldn't force the Yavam into that situation. So Abaye said, okay, so if that's true, this is the Acharu Mesbalobanim, Lotus Yavim. If you're telling me that that's true, so then if she shouldn't do Yibam after the second husband. Right? If for whatever reason she gets remarried and then the second husband dies without kids, you should cancel Yibam for that also. Right? Because of Kro Acher, because that guy is less than the first husband, but obviously the halacha is that she would be shaykh to Yibam. Why shouldn't be? Why shouldn't she? It's going to say, because yeah, in Echanami, because at that point, in the second marriage, she was doing okay. By the first marriage, in Echanami, right, was ruined by, you know, her messing around. But the second marriage, right, up until that point, things are okay. Maybe she did tshuva, maybe whatever. And so therefore, right, there's no problem, right, having Yibam in that situation. Okay. Rava says that it's not based on that drasha on that pasuk at all, right? It's a kal v'chomer. It's kal v'chomer why you can't do yibum with a sota, right? A woman who is suspected of being a sota, because im nesra l'bamutr la pasur la kol shekin. Rabbi says because if a sota who's, we're not sure what's going on, right? She's secluded herself with someone else, so she's also to her husband who she's technically mutter to, so if someone she's usher to, obviously she's going to be usher to them. Meaning she's obviously usher, she's usher to the brother as long as the husband's still alive. So Abai said, El Miata, well, if that's true, then Kohen Gadol, we're going to have a couple stabs at this. Abai is going to take a couple stabs at this. He's going to, El Miata, if that logic is true, right, Kohen Gadol, Shekidesh is Almano Mace, let's say Kohen Gadol, right, marries someone who's usher to him, right? Again, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, right, a widow, right? A regular Kohen is, but a Kohen Gadol is not. So let's say Kohen Gadol got engaged or did kiddushin, right, with an almana, and then he dies, right? They got married and then he died. V'yishlo ach kohen hedyot, and he has a brother who's a regular kohen who's technically allowed to marry this woman. So therefore, lotis yavim, they shouldn't do yibam either, because im nesra b'mutra la ba'asra la l'kosher kain, right? Because of this logic, right? If you're telling me that again, she's usher to the Kohen Gadol, right? So then, right, to the one she's usher to marry, right? The meaning the regular kohen. Right, the kosher kain, certainly, but we see that it is shaykh for yibam. Right, again, that's a mission of Yivamos at the end of Yivamos. And where is it? Where is the end of Yivamos? There's a Rashi quote over here. I don't see it. Okay, either way, but we see that it is mutter. So Gemara says, Nesra, what do you mean that the almana isn't becoming usher to the Kohen Gadol, like the our case in the Sota? Haiser of Kaima, that she was always usher to the Kohen Gadol and mutterla. And what do you mean that she be came usher to the one who was mutter? Meaning usher lahu. Meaning she's always usher to her. Right? So the Kohen Gadol is always usher. It's different than our case where she became usher to the one he was mutter to. She was never mutter to the Kohen Gadol in the first place. Right? So the logic is not the same. So rather, Abaye tries again. He says, really, the case, maybe it's comparable to the case of Eishes Kohen Shenetzah. Again, we know the halacha is that if a woman is raped, Rechman al Islan, so it's not considered as if she was unfaithful to her husband, right? She's allowed to stay married to him unless he's a Kohen. If he's a Kohen, so then she becomes usher to him. So Eishes Kohen Shenetzah, Umeis, right? Again, the case there now is that the Kohen's wife was raped, right? And then there, Rechman al Islan, right? Unfortunately, terrible situation. And then she's usher to him. And then he dies, right? V'yishlo achalal. And now that Kohen has a brother who's a chalal, who's not a good Kohen, right? That you have the beginning of Makos talks about that specifically, that he is allowed to marry other women that a regular Kohen is not allowed to marry, including a woman who was raped. So if that's the logic, if the logic that Rava is suggesting holds, then lotis yabim, they shouldn't do yibam, because im nesra b'mutra la b'basra la l'kol shekein. Because if she became usher to someone she was mutter to, i.e. her original husband, right, so someone she was usher to, right, again, i.e. the brother, right, at that time, l'kol shekein, she also should be usher. So Rava says back to him, no, onus b'Yisrael m'shashari, v'gabi dehai, v'yilaki Yisura. Because, no, because this woman is allowed to marry Yisrael. So by so in terms of the halal, right, there's no issue whatsoever. Right? So again, in that case, is not a problem. Because, again, the brother is trying to the brother who is a Yisrael, kilu, right, is allowed to marry, right, is allowed to marry this woman, right? Again, in the baye, or the cholal, right, is not, I mean, there's nothing, meaning, by the, what was it? One second, hold on, sorry. What is it? Rav was talking about a woman, right, who became usher on her own volition, and that it changed her status. But her status, right, but in Abaye's case, the woman's status vis-a-vis the chalal didn't change at all, right? She was totally mutter to him, right? She happened to, you know, have been raped, rahman al-salam, but she was mutter to the chalal. She would have been mutter to the chalal the entire time. But in the case of the sota, so she was mutter to the husband, became asr to him, and there, that, since that's the koach that kind of, and then the guy dies, if that's the basis for the marriage, to allow marriage to her brother, to the Yavam, so then, well, she messed that up when she became usher to the original husband. But if, by the Kohen's case, she didn't do anything to mess up a potential marriage to the brother, right, because even though she didn't impact, right, again, she didn't impact the Kohen in the marriage, she got raped or whatever, but that wouldn't have necessarily impacted the Cholol marry her at all. All right, new Mishnah, Vayter. Now, again, the last thing we had said, well, not the last thing, because we just quoted the last thing we said in the Mishnah, but before that, the Mishnah had talked about the sota eating truma. Right? And, again, one of the things that happens when a sota becomes, when they go through the whole process, and she secludes herself and they're eating, etc., she becomes usher to her husband, and she becomes usher to eat truma, right, until they figure out what's going on. If the husband is a kohen. So ve'ilu basos mi'nachos b'truma, so therefore, and of course, now the Mishnah kind of jumps off that, and says there are other women that are also not allowed to eat truma because their situation with their husbands, right, is either in limbo or because she is no longer considered to be married to the kohen, etc. So ha'omer is tamei anilach. If the woman says, well, I cheated on you, so sorry, that they were done. So she admits that she's cheated on him. Ubo edim she tamei, or there are witnesses to that effect. Ha'omer is anishosa, or anishosa, but if... Or in a case where she decides not to take the mesota, again, once she goes through the sota process, and she starts with we have the edim that she was secluded, so she's now considered to be a suffix sota, right, or a sota. And if she, the only thing she can do to get out of that is drink the sota waters, right? Again, that we'll talk about later. But if she doesn't want to, so then she just stays also to her husband, and therefore she's not allowed to eat truma. V'shabayla inerutz lashkosa. Similarly, if the husband, whatever reason, right, he loves his wife, even if, you know, she cheated on him or whatever, or she suspects her, still he loves her, he doesn't want to take a chance with her, you know, dying and exploding in pretty dramatic fashion. So he doesn't want to give her the sota water. So they stay usher, and she's therefore usher to eat truma. V'shabala bala baderech, and also, right, if they were slept together on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, right, that's an isser. That we'll talk about as well. If you look at Rashi over here, Shuv ein mayin bot genosa, right, come on later in the Masechta, right, it says, v'nikah ha'ish me'avon, right, the pasuk says that the man has to be clean of sin, right, that the sota waters check her and him, right, it's not just a her thing. So if they were together, which is usher, again, once she becomes, like we said, once she starts the sota process, they're usher to be together. So once, if they violate that, so then the sota waters won't do anything, and the mesota are ineffective, and therefore they stay usher to each other, and she was no longer allowed to eat truma. Amar Rav Amram. Rav Amram said the following: Hamilsa Amar Lam Rav Sheshes Ve'iner Lan Inyan Meimas Nisan. Right, Rav Sheshes taught us something, and he proved it. Literally, it means he made our eyes light, but he proved it from our Mishnah. What he said is the following: Sota Sheyesh La Edim B'Bdiyas Hayam. If a sota has edim, and this is basically what we're going to spend the rest of the daf on, talking about this line, this halacha of Rav Sheshes, if there are edim overseas, right, somewhere, so edim in America, right, that saw that the woman, right, that cheated on her husband, ein hamayin bot genosa, the mei sota do not work, right, even though, right, we don't necessarily know about the edim, right, but if there are edim that she actually did cheat on her, again, in a normal case where we had those edim, right, that's Edom for the Toma, as we talked about, as we phrased it, and then she would become Usher to them, and they wouldn't even do the Mesota, right, and he'd have to divorce her, etc. But even if these Edom exist, and we don't know about them yet, so the Mesota don't work, right? They don't function. My time. Oh, why is that true? Damakras, the Pasuk says, Minister of Hinit Ma Ve'Aid Ainba, right? Again, that she be secluded herself, and she was, right, she cheated on him, and there's no witnesses. The Lekha the Adaba, right? That is all as long as nobody knows. Lafukiha the Ika the Adaba, and excluding a case where someone does, in fact, know about what happened. And that was his halacha. How did he prove that from our Mishnah? The Anharla Anyan. Mimas Nisan. The Gatani, how did he prove from our Mishnah? Vishabola Edim Shitameya. One of the cases where she doesn't need Truma is that Edim came and said that she had cheated on him. So the Gemara says, Dasu Edim Amas. When did these Edim come? Radina in Nema Mikami the Tishti. If it's before she drank the Mesota, so then Zonahi. Well, then she's a prostitute, meaning that everybody knows. And she's Tameya. That's the case where we know that she cheated on him, and you don't need the Mesota, right? Again, you can just. Their marriage is over, right? She's not married to him anymore. She can't eat truma, etc. You don't need to teach me that. Ella must be busted the shasa. It must be after she drank the mesota. And what is the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah is saying that the reason she made it, meaning the reason she didn't explode, is because you have Edim. Right, that existed. Right, if you tell me that that's why the waters don't test her. And that's why the waters didn't work. Shopper, so that all works. But if you tell me that the waters do work, so that proves that these Edim are false, that they're lying, right? Because otherwise, right, if you tell me that the water checks her, and sure enough, the Edim were telling the truth, and she did cheat on him, so she would have exploded. As we'll see later, she would have died. So, but the fact that we accept the witnesses, right? Our Mishnah says we accept the witnesses, and she's no longer allowed to eat truma. So apparently, what do you see? You see that the Edom came after she drank the Mesota. We find out that that's why the Mesota didn't work, and therefore we accept the Edom, right? And we assume that she's not allowed to marry, to stay married, and she's not allowed to eat truma. So, Rav Yosef said, "Nah, not so fast. La'olam, really? Emelacha, my bokinosa. Really? The Mesota do work in the case where you have Edom." That saw what happened. But people will say that she survived the Mesota because she had a schus. As we'll see later in the Masechta, or your Mishnah, Rashi quoted Mishnah Daf. Let's see here, towards the bottom. It doesn't quote it, but if you look at Zchus Tola, Shalom Yitzvah Bitna Miyad, Aval Ina Yoledes La'olam Ve'inu Mishabachas, right, Rashi again, oh no, it says the Rashi above, right, yeah, Daf Chof. Yeah, Damala, come on, Zchus Tola, but Mayim Amarim, that Daf Chof is going to say, we're going to learn in 2 weeks, that if a woman has a schus, right, some sort of schus, then she doesn't necessarily die from the Mesota, right? She explodes. Right? She doesn't necessarily explode. So therefore, meaning the reason, the witnesses, right, the Mesota do, right, in fact, work if there are Edim, but the reason she didn't die, right, is because she had some sort of schus. I mean, that's why we say that they're not allowed. That's why we believe the Edom, right? Again, we see that there were Edom, right? The Mesota do work, but she didn't die because she has some sort of schus. Edom came later and said that she cheated on him. Okay, fine. So she's also Betruma, right? And we'll believe, right, these Edom. But you don't just discredit the Mesota because the Edom came afterwards, right? It's also, we assume that the Mesota worked, just she had some sort of schus. But my kabbalah, okay, so what's a machlokes? Again, Rav Sheshet said that it is a proof, right? It does work, meaning that it does prove that if there are Edom, so that the Mesota don't work. So what's the machlokes here between Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef? So bimisnavna the Rebbe. Right, the halacha of bisnavna of Rebbe is Rebbe's about to say there's a woman. If a woman has a schus, or if a woman is not going to get killed by the Mesota, but she really was guilty, what happens to her? Does she start kind of like dying? Right, what did the Mesota do? Does it not hurt her at all? Right? Or if she has this chus, or does she just like have her punishment delayed like 5 years, right? Instead of just blowing up at that point, right, does she kind of like start getting, you know, degrading and kind of you know, moving, dying that way? The times we learn the Mishnah, this Mishnah is on Daf Chav Beis. Rebbe says, "Chus tola b'mayim amarim ve'inu yuledes ve'inu mishabeches." Again, she neither. Right, again, just to clarify, the psukim say that if the woman was not unfaithful. I mean, if she was faithful, then she'll become, as Machog is about this, we'll see this later, but then she'll become pregnant. Obviously, if she cheated on him, so then she kind of like explodes, right? Her leg drops and her stomach swells, etc., etc. But if she has a schus, so she doesn't give birth, right? And she doesn't do so well, and her shabbat doesn't continue to live well, ela misnavna veholechas. But she becomes a little bit more maneuver, right? No, that's not the same word, but she becomes a little bit more, she starts to kind of like wasting away a little bit, dying a little bit. So she may say, "Boso misa," and eventually she'll get to that type of misa where she kind of will swell up and die. Rav Sheshes holds, "Bein l'Rebbe, bein l'Rabbanan, right? Havya misnavna." Right? He holds that both Rebbe and the Chachamim hold that this is what happens: that if she has some sort of chus, she starts dying a little bit. Right? So the Mishnah, right? So our Mishnah, right? What happens in our Mishnah when an Edom come, right? That says that she cheated on him. So nothing happened to her when she drank the water. So it can't be that there's a schus here. It can't be that there's a schus tola. But she survived. So, and then Edom come and say that she cheated on him. So it must be that the waters don't work if they're Edom to testify that she actually cheated. Rav Yosef says no. The Rebbe, it's only the Rebbe that have a misnavna. That's only according to the Rebbe that she has some sort of schus, she just starts dying later. The Rabbanan lo have a misnavna, but according to the Rabbanan, they disagree. So you saw, according to Rav Yosef, the Mishnah is the Chachamim, and therefore the reason why nothing happened to her is because she has some sort of schus, and then it has nothing to do with, right, whether they're Edom. Masiv Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. Again, you ask a kasha and against Rav Sheshes. Rabbi Shimon Omer, again, our Mishnah, not our Mishnah, but the Mishnah we just quoted, yeah? Rabbi Shimon says, Ein schus tola b'mayim amarim. Again, we had Machogas, we said before, right? That there is, some people hold that the schus, some sort of schus does help, and some people hold that the schus does not help. So Rabbi Shimon holds that the schus does not help. Right? If you think it does help, so madcha ata esamayim b'fnei kol hanashim ashosos, right? V'tamotzi shemen al torah shishazu. Right? I mean, you're going to mess up, right? That ruins the entire thing, right? If you tell, again, you think about it, right? You have this magic way to determine whether a woman is unfaithful or not. And all of a sudden you're telling me that if she has some sort of schus, that delays her punishment. So anybody who survives, you'll assume she had a schus. Again, so that totally messes up the entire process. Right? The women, you'll assume that, oh, she really cheated on him. But she had some sort of schus. She gave some tzedakah, whatever. She did some sort of mitzvah. And therefore she didn't explode. She didn't die. Right? So you're motzi shemra, the tahoros, right? What about the tahoros? All the women, let's say all the women who didn't cheat on their husbands. And they survived. Right, you're going to be like, oh, she really cheated, but she just has one of those schus. Vehina omrin, tomatoes, how you? I should tell them schus, right? Everybody's going to say, really, they did cheat, but they had some sort of schus to delay punishment. Vim hisan, if it's really true that their edim mever liyam, that will not make the meisota not work, yeshla edim medina sayam nami. But that will also have the same effect. Atamotzi shemra al taharas sheshazu. Right, you're going to have lashon hara and all these bad rumors about all the women who are really tahor that drank the meisota and survived. You'll have the same claim. You'll be like, oh, yeah, really, she did cheat on him, but there's some sort of witnesses right overseas, and that's why she didn't explode. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Shimon, come out. What do you mean?" So that whole kasha is based on Rabbi Shimon, right, who holds that there is no concept of schos, and it doesn't help, right? The Rabbi Shimon, right, midchus lo toya edim nami lo talu. Right? It's only Rabbi Shimon, right? He's going to say that since there's no schus, the edim won't, the edim overseas doesn't help either. But according to the Chachamim, the chol that a schus does help, so maybe edim do help as well. Maybe they're not concerned about people, you know, motzi laz, motzi shemra, about the tahoros. Motziv Rav asks against their chases as well. Ve'elu shemin chosem nisrafos. These are the sotas who burn their korban mincha. Now, a little bit of background about the korban mincha. One of the things that a sota has to do is bring a korban mincha. A little bit of background about the korban mincha. There are two stages to the korban mincha. There's the setting aside of the flour and all the other stuff, you kind of like say this is the stuff we're going to bring. At that point, there's Kedushas Damim, that it has a value, right, a monetary value to the Beis HaMikdash. And if for whatever reason something happens at that stage, right, you can just simply be poda, you can redeem it by paying money, etc. Right, just like any other korban that has not yet been really sanctified with Kedushas HaGuf, right, you can redeem it. Once it's been put in the Marcheshes or the Machavas, right, in last week's parsha, right, in one of the frying pans, I forget exactly which one it is, so then it's ready, right? Once it's in a klishore, so then it is kadosh, and then it is, you know, it's that's already the point of no return. And if for whatever reason it doesn't work out, so then you have to burn it. So the Mishnah says, right, which korban minchas of a sota have to be burnt? Meaning, at what point is it too far gone? Ha'omeres tameyani, if she says, meaning after they put the korban mincha in a klishore, she says, just kidding, I cheated on him. So that, she's, I mean, there's no point now to bring the korban mincha because there's no sota process here, right? We know that she cheated. Right? And also, if they're edim, similarly, if they're edim, that after they put the mincha on the klisharis, if they're edim, so then, right, then you burn the korban mincha. Now, the same thing we can do as we did before. The also edim emas. When do we get these edim? Ilema mikami de tikdosh. If it's before it was the korban mincha was tikdosh kadosh, we put in a klisharis, put in one of the pans. So it's epil chulin. So then you could, as we said before, you could just redeem the flour, etc. So why would you have to burn it? Allah the basu the kadosh must be that it's after they put it in these klisharis. And ia must brishlama by my boat ganosa. If you tell me that the waters work, even though they're edim, so I'm about to make the shemikrafu. So that's why we burn the korban mincha, because the mincha is shayich to be brought, because the mesota, the waters work. So part of the mesota process is the korban mincha. But right, v'chi kadosh meikara shabr kadosh. And therefore, when you put it in the klisharis originally, that was good. That works because we needed to use the mesota, and part of the whole process is the korban mincha. V'mishim ha'achim minchas in the service. That's why you would burn it, because then afterwards, when we find out that, oh, by the way, Adam came to tell me that she cheated, right? So then the original sanctification, the real kiddush of the korban mincha, right, was legit, and therefore we have to burn it because it's the point of no return. Elabad, Yamris, if you say that ina mayim bod kenosa, if we say that the waters, like Rav Sheshet said, that the waters don't work if they're edim overseas, so then tigli milsa lemafreya dechin kadosh meikara betaos kadosh. Then we see retroactively that when they were makdish, right, this korban mincha, it was a mistake, right? It was never supposed to be put in the pan, and therefore if a tip lechulin, it shouldn't be kadosh. It should just, you can just go to chulin, right? You can just redeem it, or maybe you don't even need to redeem it, right? Rather, right? The whole thing is a mistake. So therefore, that's the kasha on Rav Sheshet. So I'm Rav Yehuda, mi diskarta. He said, "Kigon shizinsa bazara." You're right. Ain't a chenami. The case is very wild case, as we'll see in a second. The case is where she had znos right in the Beis HaMikdash, right after they put the korban mincha in the klisharis, and she didn't actually cheat on the guy beforehand. She was tower, but then she did cheat on her husband after in the Beis HaMikdash, after they put the korban mincha in the pan, kadosh mein kadosh upper kadosh, and therefore when they originally put it in, we needed to go through the whole sota process, right? Is and the edim come and say that she, again, the edim are about that znos. There's no in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says maskev lo Rav Sharshia. What do you mean? What do you mean? She's just, what you think, she's just walking around the Beis HaMikdash by herself, right? The Kohanim are with her, right, carrying her through this process. When was that happening? So the Gemara says she's in some pirchei kunasman. Yeah, that's exactly who she was with, which is wild. But again, I guess during the times when the Beis HaMikdash and Bnei Israel were not doing so well, I guess theoretically that was possible. Rav Ashi says, "Kigoshin Yisrochal leNikvel da'adu berkikuna bekipa d'talila." Right, again, meaning that the case is, right, it happens to be where she went to the bathroom. Right, then say that she wasn't being escorted at that point. Right, she wasn't having all the Kohanim around at that point, and then she had found the time, right, to kind of avoid the Kohanim who were escorting her. Rav Papa, really, let's go, Rav Papa says, blow the whole thing up. Let's go back to originally what we said, right, that the Edom came before they put the Korban Mincha in the Klisharis. That the Edom came before They put in the Kli Sharis. Yeah. And therefore, what did we say? We said, why in the world would you have to burn the Korban Mincha? Because it wasn't put in Kli Sharis yet. It wasn't made Kadosh. So the Gemara says, and you suggested that we should just redeem the Korban Mincha because it hasn't made Kadosh yet. It hasn't been put in the Machalas or in the pan. So the Gemara says, Eina Chaname, but Midrabanan. Really, we're going to burn it Midrabanan. Gzeri Shamayom Rum, let's see, Kli Sharis Lechul. Because maybe the people will say that we will take things out of a Kli Sharis, right? Again, we don't want people to think that once you put something in the Kli Sharis, you can then redeem it. So again, what are we saying? We said before, again, that the Edom came beforehand. Originally, the what's it called? The Korban Mincha was put in the Kli Sharis by mistake. Right, in Rizhi Meikara, right, it wasn't Kadosh, right, and therefore, but we don't want people to see Korban Mincha going into the pan, right, into the Mechala, into the Kli Sharis, and then take it out, right, because they don't want people to do that in general, because we want everybody to know that a Korban Mincha, once it goes into the Kli Sharis, right, it gets burned, that's when it becomes Kadosh. Mazir Ramari, if Mari said, what do you mean, that's not a good suggestion. No one's going to think that because Nitmeis Minchasa Ashlo Kitchen Mekli Hare Hikichom Minachos with Haminachos with Tifte. Because the Brisa says that if the Korban Mincha became Tomei, right, Nitmeis Minchasa, not her, right, not Toma of the Sota, but if the Korban Mincha became Tomei before it became put into the Kli Sharis, it's like all the other Minachos and you can redeem it. But Misha Kitchen Mekli Hare Hikichom Minachos with Tisarif, right, but if it became Tomei after you put it into the Kli Sharis, then you got to burn it, right? Kadosh Bekomet, and that's not the Kasha, but we'll get to it in a second. Kadosh Bekomet. The komets is the part of the Korban Mincha that the kohen takes, who are his middle three fingers. If that got put into Kli Sharis, olu hispik lakrivo shamesu o shamesahi, and they didn't actually get that over to the mizbeach until and before that the sota died or the husband died, already called menachos with yisarif, right? So they has to be burned. Karav a komets, let's say they brought the komets, but below hispik lechol shirayim at shamesu o shamesahi, and the kohanim didn't get a chance to eat the rest of the Korban Mincha, right? And then the sota before the sota died or the husband died, already called menachos with teachol sheal savik ba mitchila, right? So that's already like a Korban Mincha that any type of Korban Mincha that can be eaten. Because it was a suffix to begin with, and therefore Kippur Sveika V'Halkala, right, and it already did what it had to do, right, again, because initially, right, we just kind of solved the case, right, the case is done, right, we had to figure out whether she's mutter to him or usher to him, and well, this marriage is gone, right, so we no longer need to figure out whether we need to save the marriage. And bo eid la edim sheit zmeya min chazan is shreves. And if before they brought the komets, so that the edim came and said that she had cheated on him, and then we burned the Korban Mincha. And finally, nimtzu the fifth halacha, nimtzu edeas zomim min chazan chulin. Right, if you find that the edim zomim, if the edim who came, right, that said that she cheated on her husband. Or really, no, this is the Edom for the Stira, the Edom for the Stira, the Edom for the seclusion, where edim zomim. So then min chazan chulin, then the Korban Mincha becomes chulin. The kasha from here is why, right? Even though the Korban Mincha is already in the Kli Sharis, right? We don't say that you burn it. We say that it's chulin, that it is nothing, because we see that the whole sota thing was flawed to begin with. But we're not saying midrabanan that you should burn the Korban Mincha after it's been put into Kli Sharis, because people might think that you can take stuff out of a Kli Sharis and it's not kadosh. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Edom zomim gemarta. Edom zomim kala is like. What do you mean? You're telling me that no one's going to know, right, about this case? What are we concerned with? We're concerned with that people are not going to know the details. People are going to see in the Beis HaMikdash and be like, why is that kohen taking Korban Mincha out of a Kli Sharis? Right? No one, they're not going to know what happened. What do you mean? Edom Zomim, in a case of Edom Zomim, where the Edom lied about a sota to say that she had secluded herself, that's a juicy story. Everybody's going to know about that. Everybody will know the details of that, right? Everybody has the biggest story in shul. So that we're not worried that people won't know the details of that case. Everybody will know, oh, yeah, okay, in the case where everything was fabricated, they're made up, so then, right, then, you know, you can take the Korban Mincha out of Kli Sharis. But no one's going to think that in general you can take the Korban Mincha out of the Kli Sharis. Tani Kavazi Derev Sheshes V'lo Mitani. Let's just get to the Mishnah. And then we'll wish everybody a Chakashim Sameach, because I'm not sure if we'll get a chance to record on Erev Pesach. Tani Kavazi Derev Sheshes V'lo Mitani. A Braisa holds like Derev Sheshes, but not actually his logic. Right? Again, Derev Sheshes says, use the Pasuk of Vinistra V'hinetz Ma V'edein Ba. She's secluded and she cheated on him, but there are no edim. I.e., if there are edim, medina sayam, so then the mesoda don't work. So because this brisa uses the pasuk utahore, right? The quote the pasuk over here. Im v'im lo nitzma ha'ishav utahorehi v'niksa v'nizra zera. Right? If she had not cheated on her husband and she is tahor, so then she will become pregnant. She'll have a child. Right? Again, Akash Baruch will testify that the marriage is good and pure. Right? Not only that, it will bless them with children. So the pasuk says tahorehi, and we're going to darshan the word tahora, the word utahora, even though that's the same word because it says utahora, right? Just don't get confused. And then we're going to darshan the word he. So the three drushas here. Tahora, what does that refer to? That means velosheishla edim b'nisayam, right? But if she, as opposed to right, someone who has edim right overseas, right? It's utahora, right? What does that mean? Veloshe tells the loschus, and as long as not if she has a schus. Right, again, if she has a schus, that means she won't get pregnant. Meaning, what are the cases, right? The pasuk says here that if she's tahor, if she's tahora, that she will have a child. So what are those cases? That's not if she has edim meiver liam, not if she has some sort of schus, and he, shalu yisu, v'yithnu, b'mozrus, b'levana, and not someone who is so obviously, well, that's a phrase that means that women are going to gossip her under the light of the moon, but mean, and not someone who is so obviously cheated on her husband, meaning that we don't need the sota, right? You don't need the mesota to know that she cheated. Right? Everybody knows that she cheated. So, those are three exceptions, right, to the pasuk, and tells me that this woman will survive the mesota, but she won't have children. So that's Rav Sheshes' shita, right? That she will survive. The mesota won't work. They won't test her. They won't kill her. If she has edim, but not based on his pasuk, it's based on this pasuk of Utahori. For Rabbi Shimon, what about Rabbi Shimon? Again, who holds that schus doesn't work? Because again, this drasha teaches me that schus does work, right? The second drasha, Utahora, tells me that she has some sort of schus that will keep her alive, but that's not going to give her children. Rabbi Shimon said, this schus doesn't work at all. It doesn't help her whatsoever. So what does Rabbi Shimon do with this pasuk? Nid devav lo darish. He simply doesn't hold that you darshan the vav, right? What do? Right, as I mentioned before, we darshan the word utahorehi, but he broke that up into three drashas. It was utahora, utahora, the vav, and the word he. So Rabbi Shimon simply doesn't like darshaning out the vavs, right? He won't darshan out the vav, and therefore he holds that you have a drasha of tahorehi, and you have a drasha of utahora, which teaches me not that you have edim meiver liam, and you have a drasha of he. That not that if it's so super obvious that she cheated, but you don't have the middle drasha, which is the schus one, which he disagrees with. Right? That's what he says. Vayika yesh la'idim v'yaseyam lo shkicha. Sorry. Now that's a question. As the Gemara says, what about edim v'din sayam? And Rabbi Shimon seems to agree with that, but that would Rabbi Shimon was a whole logic was right that we don't want to say motzi shemra on other. So how can you tell me that if she has edim v'din sayam, the mesota won't work? People are going to say, oh, everybody who doesn't die by the mesota must have cheated, but really just have edim v'din sayam, right? You're going to be motzi laz on all the tahorim who actually were faithful. No, that case is not common. It's not common that you have edim v'din sayam who saw what happened, right? So therefore, right, no one's going to say that it's not a common case, and therefore we don't have to be worried. Okay, have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this, and a chag kosher v'sameach rabosai. Enjoy the yom tov with all the family.